Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
experience.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. We are in our third week in January 28th, 2019. Oh, my gosh, the time just flies so fast. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and this show is about sharing how to experience more happiness. And I'm talking about more happiness in every single moment. And when I use that word happiness, when I say happiness, it is the same as feeling peaceful, feeling having a vibration of being balanced, of feeling content, of feeling satisfied. You know that feeling that your shoulders are down and all is well. Oh, my goodness. Hold on a second. I have to get the telephone. I'm actually live on Reality Spirituality, so I'll have to speak with you later. Thank you and goodbye. Now, listen. Okay, excuse me for that, but that's my number one son, and I always answer the phone for him. I really do. Anywho, where was I? My title is Happiness Specialist, and what that means is when I was younger, all I wanted was to be happy. And just like most people out there, I knew that if I achieved something, if I found Prince Charming, if I traveled, if I had enough money, if I had the right job, the right position, I was doing what I was passionate about, I knew I would be happy. And folks, I'm here to tell you that none of that is true. Because I was indoctrinated by that same programming, and we're going to talk a lot about programming this year. In fact, that's the title of my second book, Program for Unhappiness. We're going to talk about that programming because it is the programming that kept me unhappy. It was the programming that kept me dissatisfied. It is the programming that kept me wanting and desiring something other than this present moment. It is the programming that was the problem. So I'm going to throw this out. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. You're not blocking anything. You're not making anything happen. It's not your fault. It is the programming. And before I go on, I just want to share with my new listeners that, yes, I am available for weekend seminars, for weekend talks, retreats, daily talk seminars. Just contact me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. And before I forget, last week was our topic was it's not our plan. And I went on and on and I explained about how it's the universal plan, but what I left out and what I forgot to mention, that the plan that, you know, some people call it, some people use the word universe, some people say God, some people say spirit, higher power, source energy, it doesn't even matter the term that you use. The plan is bigger than the little plan that I had for myself. Oh, I thought I knew. I know what's best for me. I know what I would like. I know what I think would make me feel good. But in reality, the bigger plan, the universal plan, is the plan that causes and pushes, I'm going to say forces me to grow and to expand and to get to another place, of peace, to another place of contentment. Am I content? Am I at peace in every single moment? No, I'm just like the weather. There are days where there is just peace in the world, but there are also days where there's a little turmoil that comes up, and I'm going to share with you what happened to me this week. It's a true story. You know, I like to let you in behind the scenes. It's a true story, and I'm going to share with you. And before I do, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619, area code 646-564-9619. And there's a few people in the queue, and if you want to speak with me live, just press the number 1. But this is what happened to this happiness specialist this week. Now, I'm in a very, very small town. In a very small town, and there are only maybe three print shops where you can go and get something copied, where you can go and get something faxed or scanned. Three. Now, there is a Staples, but Staples charges $1.69 a page to fax. I'm used to coming from a big city, and you can get faxes for, you know, 50 cents a page, 25 cents a page, and after I paid $14 to fax six pages, I said, oh, no, I've got to find another way. I've got to find another print shop. So I went in to this very small shop, very, very small, and I had three faxes, three separate documents to fax. One of them was 14 pages, and two of them were 7 pages. Faxed them. Actually, the girl that was helping me was in training, so that's another story. So now I've got to really rank up the patience mode and take deep breaths. You know, somebody's in training and they're helping me, and you know, I've got that efficient mode, that efficient programming. And so I faxed all the documents, got my confirmation pages. And the very next day, I receive a phone call from one of the offices that I faxed these documents to. Now, these are, here we go, very important documents, time-sensitive medical documents. This was serious. So I'm throwing out these other factors that came into play, all of these program thoughts. This is serious. This is important. All of this that came into play. So I get a phone call, and the woman says, we only received one page of your fax, just one page. And now I'm in the time sensitive. This was serious. How could they mess this up? This small town. Oh, by the way, the fax machine that they were using, I believe they bought it in 1970. She had to blow the dust off of it just to fax. But I digress. So now I make a phone call, and I have a little bit of an edge. You know what I'm talking about. You know that little edge, the little chip on your shoulder, the little, oh, something's wrong. It didn't happen the way I thought it should happen. The incompetence of it all. The incompetence of it all. This small town. I call. And I spoke with I believe it was the owner. I didn't get her name at first. And I said, you know, I was just in there yesterday. I didn't get all the doc. I did all my documents weren't faxed, just one page. Can I come in and fax it again? Now, here we go with another program, expectation. I was expecting to hear, well, first I said, am I going to be charged for it again? And I was expecting to hear, no. I mean, that's customer service, right? We made the mistake. No, you don't have to pay for our mistakes. I'm just letting you in on my whole train of thought. And when I heard, yes, you will have to pay for it again because we did not make a mistake and the confirmation page came out that we faxed 7 pages, regardless of the phone call you got, we faxed 7 pages, and yes, you're going to have to pay for it again. Well, this couldn't be seen over the phone, but my lips were poked out, and I hung up. I mean, I said goodbye, and I hung up. And then I sat there, and I started stewing. Yes, yes, this happiness specialist knows how to stew, too. So I was stewing, a little, and I wasn't boiling over, but I was bubbling for sure. And I, again, if you want to speak with me live, we have a few people in the queue, just press the number 1. And I called back again and I said, let me speak with the owner of the company, please. And I had a nice conversation with her the day before. She had just bought the business. The business had been there for 40 years. And she just bought the business a few months ago, and I'm new to the town, and I'm, you know, want to support small businesses. And I said, well, I'm going to have a lot of business because I got to do a lot of faxing and scanning in the next few months. And we had a nice little conversation, so I called back and I said, let me speak with the owner. And sure enough, the owner got on the phone and she said, well, no, we're not going to. We're not going to fax it for free. You know, everything on our end looks good. In other words, I don't want to even say that she didn't believe that I got a phone call, but that's not even the point. The point is, I wanted her to say, no problem. We'll fax it for free. And I'm up here. Oh, I forgot to say. My head is hanging down on this one. My head is hanging down. I'm looking down, and I even said, well, I don't want to have to give you a bad review. I mean, I wanted to do business with you. I don't want to have to give you a bad review on Yelp or whatever the reviews are. Oh, trust me, audience, I don't even like telling you this, but I mean, full disclosure here. And we went around and around on the phone for another couple of minutes, and she said, you know, Rebecca, she says, come in and you can fax it for, you can, she says, let's let it go. You can fax it for free. Now, as soon as she said that, the things that I share with you what to practice, trust me, I practice all the time. And immediately, I already knew when I was going back and forth and trying to convince her to let me fax it for nothing and throwing out, well, I don't want to give you a bad review. I mean, all of that was all just all ego. And I know it's all ego because my ego never, ever, ever wants peace. My ego is always stirring some shit up, always stirring it up, and it never wants to take the peaceful path. Never. So because I'm aware of all that and because I really starve the ego as much as I can, oh, it was out and about and puffing up and saying all these things that I don't want to write a bad review and I should get my facts for it. Listen, I went in that same day with my consciousness head hung down a little bit. I was, and I went in and I spoke with the owner. She met me as soon as I went into the little, it's just a little closet. Went into the closet business. I went into the little office. And I said, I insist. I said, forget everything I said. I said, I insist on paying for the facts again. I apologize for getting a little riled up. I apologize for the pushback, but I insist on paying for the facts myself again. And then universally, she came back to me and she said, no, Rebecca, I insist on paying for the facts. And let me tell you something, my dear audience, when you really surrender, all on surrender with no ego attached, it is the most humbling, the most, it leaves you without being able to move or to speak. That surrender, letting the ego, just dropping the ego, it left me, as some people won't believe this, speechless, without the ability to say one word. And that taught me another lesson, because all this are moments of lessons, moments of experiences without judgment. That's all this life is, moments and moments and moments of experiences without judgment. And it taught me and it showed me that the more I starve the ego, the more it tries to eke out in any other, it just ekes out, but to recognize that programming, that old programming of this is serious, this is important, this has to get done, I have expectations, all of that, and that's what living consciously does for you. Consciously you make decisions, consciously you speak. Your words are very conscious. I'm gonna talk about, because it is the programming. It's not our fault, it's the programming that is the big culprit here. Yeah, I'd like to talk about in the news, and I'm gonna get to my callers in just 2 minutes. Oh, another caller. I'm going to you know, it's so funny how everyone calls me right during the show. But anyway, I digress. Hold on a second. I can't get that, man. I can't get that line. So this is what happened in the news. So listen to this in the news. I was looking at a video on YouTube, and I was looking at a Kevin Hart interview. And if you know Kevin Hart, he's a comedian. I mean, I think he's okay. He's not one of my favorite comedians. I mean, I like Cat Williams. I like Chris Rock. But he's big. He's big. Big presence out there. And he was talking about, I don't know if it was recently, 6 months ago, his wife had a child, and the baby was a year old. So his wife and an event planner created a party, you know, for a one-year-old. And the wife and the event planner wanted a theme party. Theme party for a one-year-old. Now, I'm sure it was elaborate. And the theme was, here we go, cowboys and Indians. Now, this is a one-year-old wife, event planner, party planner putting on this show, this birthday party. Kevin Hart tells the story that he wasn't even at the party in the beginning. I guess he showed up a little bit later, and he goes outside and he takes pictures with the people, you know, with some of the kids and the kids that were attending, cowboys and Indian theme party. It was very obvious. And Kevin Hart received so much hate mail and so many, I don't know, hate mail, letters, social media, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Instagram, whatever outlets he had, he received such a backlash from that theme, from cowboys and Indians. I guess Indians were offended, cowboys were offended, I don't know the whole deal, but he tells that story and he says he had to make a public apology. He had to make a public apology to people that were quote unquote offended. Now, if you've listened to this show, and even if you haven't listened to this show, I've done so many shows about words and the power of words, and in reality, it's the programming that makes us believe that these words can offend. I'm here to tell you, I'm sorry, put your seatbelts on, but I'm here to tell you that words are not powerful enough to offend unless you were programmed to believe that a word is offensive. Now, I'm going to throw in behaviors, too, because it's the same. Behaviors, words, it is a program that makes you believe that word is offensive. And the evidence is, if you're 1 year old, if you're 2 years old, if you're 3 years old, and somebody comes up and uses whatever kind of foul language, as many offensive words as you can name, as many offensive terminology, 2, 3 years old, you're not going to even flinch. You're not going to be bothered. The only way that you're bothered is because of the programming. You were programmed, oh, this is offensive. And I'm here to tell you, people, because you know that it's a programming, because one person is offended and the other person isn't. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference? And back in the day, I'm talking back in the 70s, I don't even know if it's 80s, but if you ever watched some of those shows from the 70s, All in the Family, what's that other show, The Jeffersons, there were so many politically incorrect television shows that were number one. So somehow this sensitivity to words has grown and grown and grown. And all I'm saying, listen, I'm not here to judge it. What I am here to tell you that if you allow words to be powerful, you will not be happy. You cannot allow words to be powerful and find peace at the same time. Because if one word makes you feel a certain way, then another word is going to make you feel a certain way. And in reality, it is you have the power to be at peace regardless of what the storm is, regardless of what the storm, and I'm saying a storm of words. Someone told me yesterday, I was working at the senior center serving breakfast. Boy, listen, if I allowed words to be powerful, trust me, I would be on a roller coaster up and down and up and down, and oh, they said something hurt my feelings. Oh, they said something that affects me. This one woman, listen, she has to be at least in her late 80s, and it was that generation. And she said something, I'm just going to say it. She said something, this was a couple of weeks ago, at the senior center. Now, these people are from a different generation, and they're going to say whatever they want to say. And she said, what did she say to me? Because, I was taking the money for the lunch, and she said that she was telling the story about how she Jewed somebody down. Now, anyone else, I can't even speak for anybody else, but thank God, thank goodness that these words mean nothing to me, because number one, for whatever reason, maybe she, who knows why she said, but this is what she said. How can I allow someone else to dictate my happiness or someone else to dictate my peace because of a word that they use or even the connotation? No, everyone's out there trying to control everybody else to don't say this, don't say that, so you'll feel better. That's backwards. It's backwards. You've got to be, you don't have to be, but do you think that an elephant is bothered by a flea? So the more you grow, the more you expand, the more you practice, words have no power. Words are going to be meaningless to you. Now, I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm not talking to anybody else or about anybody else. So when you recognize the program, and all I'm saying is, who is more powerful? The person that is bothered, offended by words or by someone else's actions, or the person that is not? And remember, when these people say these things, it's never personal. Even if they're looking at you and they're calling your name, if their intent is to hurt, listen. What does the humpback man want more than anything else? What does the man with the hump in his back want more than anything else? It's not to get rid of the hump. It's not to find a humpback woman. It's for you to have that hump too. So if anybody is throwing spears, or if anybody is angry, or if anybody is pointing the finger and yelling and even calling your name, it is never even about you. And when you realize that and you recognize it and you practice it, no one can say anything that is going to trigger you or push your buttons. You remember, if you have buttons to push, if you have buttons, it's up to you to eliminate your buttons. It's not up to anybody else to change their behavior, because you're still going to find, if you're offended one day and somebody passes a law that they're not supposed to use that word, that word is illegal to use, or that action is illegal, 6 months, 2 months, 2 weeks, you're going to find something else to be offended by. If you're offended once in this moment, you're going to be offended again in the next moment. So my suggestion is to grow to a point, evolve to a point where nothing, words, these programs, these words that they're just words, letters on a piece of paper, have no power. Not only letters on a piece of paper, man-made words, man-made letters put together. I'm going for the most powerful. So this whole thing with Kevin Hart and having to apologize, I just, as they say, shook my head, because the more, I cannot wait until I finish that chapter on getting offended, the illusion of being offended, the illusion. Now, I see a lot of things 10 years ago, 5 years ago, it bothered me. Of course it bothered me. But the more I practice choosing peace, choosing contentment, choosing happiness, choosing this vibration of contentment, the more I am committed to it and the more I practice, these people can do whatever the hell they want to do and say whatever they want to say. I'm coming from both places. I remember being offended. I remember being bothered. I remember getting bothered. Listen, I came from a house where my mother and father never cursed. My father used the word hell. And it wasn't until my father died that my mother started spewing out a few expletives, right? But never cursed. And I was taught that people that cursed were bad people, you know, the riffraff of society. Oh, if you have to curse, then you can't express yourself without using foul language. Oh, you're riffraff. That's what I was taught. So when people were cursing and saying the F word, I can say it now, saying fuck, oh, I was offended. It was horrible. But I'm telling you right now, people, in my personal life, I can curse like a truck driver. It doesn't, words. Now, of course, there are certain places, time and places. I know my audience. I know that if I'm surrounded by elders, I'm just not going to sit up there and start cursing. But my point is this. Do I even have a point? I do have a point. My point is this. It is up to the individual to grow. It's not up to anybody else to change or do anything different than what they're doing. Let these people go. stay out of everybody else's business. I have an artist that I, oh my goodness, I loved her music, love her music, still love her music. And then I hear her ranting and raving and ranting and raving about the political ranting and raving. And I'm telling you, before I would, oh gosh, now I have to stop watching her. Now I have to stop liking her. Now I have to stop A, B, and C. The point is, accepting someone else with all of their differences, with all of their political differences, with all of the things that I would never do, never say, never, and oh, by the way, never say never. I had to let that go. It's too heavy. It's too heavy to look around and find something that someone else is, especially living in this community here. This little community, it is the most conservative, wonderful. We got license plate here. This is gun country. Oregonian. I mean, these people are serious about their guns and hunting. And I remember a time in my life where I thought people that hunted were the worst. How can you kill a live animal? And so the evolution, my evolution, has come from being accepting of all people, just like the universe is. The sun rises on the serial killer and the Pope, and that acceptance is not easy. It's not easy to chew on. It's not easy to swallow. That acceptance is a practice. But the more I started accepting myself with all of my with all everything about me, from what I do to what I don't do, from what I like to what I don't like, and that like and don't like is all ego-based. If I find any criticism with self, if I find any faults with self, it's all a programming. It's all ego. It's the ego. It's the ego that is just lives and thrives on being critical of self. And when I recognize that and let it go, and I actually have a little game. Hey, ego, oh, you're up and about today. Oh, I'm not going to listen to that. Oh, you know what? Say what you got to say, ego. I'll listen with one ear closed. Softer, and the ego's voice gets softer and softer. And back to that story earlier about the facts, let me tell you something. When I could feel the difference in my vibration. If that had happened 2 years ago, I would have more puffed. I'm telling you, even if I try to fight or try to argue, it is so weak. I have been declawed. When I fight, and I'm using air quotes when I say fight, when I fight now, I fight with the power of the universe. I fight with that edge gone, with that anger gone. There was a little annoyance, but it doesn't last. It's a big difference. I can feel the difference of who I used to be, because I would hold on to some stuff for weeks and for days. Don't think anybody could get over and say something to me and me not hold on to it. Holding a grudge, I was the queen. I'm going to throw this out, too, because if you've listened to the show, you know my mother died in October, and we're going through a back and forth. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going through back and forth with the family home being left to the handyman. Isn't that great? The family home is left to the handyman. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. But when I've shared, and I did not share, it wasn't a announcement, oh, my mother died, oh, big announcement. I just I didn't want to do that. I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't vibing with it. But what I get when I do share that is a lot of sorry for your loss statements. Sorry for your loss statements. And I have to say that is another programming. That sorry for your loss, that statement alone, through my eyes, I don't feel a loss. I don't feel a loss. What I do feel is I don't have my mother to talk to anymore. I don't have my mother to physically talk to. But guess what? I can, hey, Mom. Now, sometimes she answers, sometimes she doesn't. Hey, Mom, I can have a conversation with her. And the difference is the conversations that I have with my mother now, because she's in a different place where she does not experiencing any fear. She's not experiencing any angst from being in this human body. She's not experiencing any pain. The conversations that I have with her now are very, very pleasant, even with the fact that she, when I say that she left everything to the handyman, that wasn't her doing. That was a bigger plan. That was a bigger plan from the universe. The universe wanted me to experience all of that. If I didn't experience and my mother was a pawn, if you will, a pawn, a chess piece to this huge journey that I'm going to call my life, this lifetime. I had to experience that so I could practice letting go. I could practice even detaching more from something, just from something physical, from the home, from anything in the house. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons of family memorabilia in that house. And I did not even have a clue that I was still attached, to that house, that I still had expectations. I mean, I didn't have a clue until the legal reality is, the house has been given to us. To a stranger, not a family member. When you look at what your experiences and you let go of the judgment of all the experiences and you actually ask the universe, hey, show me how I'm going to experience more peace. How can I experience more peace with this house? How can I experience more peace? And the answer was simple. Letting go, totally letting go of that house and everything in it. And the value of it. That's what they gave me. That's what's on my plate. Now, when I say letting go, and I talk about fighting, trust me. The fight. Oh, hold on a second. Let me. You are live on Reality Spirituality. What's your first name?
Mike. How are you today, Rebecca?
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I mean, regarding the full moon, red moon, and eclipse that is coming very soon within the next 12 hours range. And do you think it will have some kind of event comes after that, such as earthquakes or if politically also maybe something happens, you know, whether it's USA or somewhere around the globe, and economically and something. I mean, everything is going to, because three things in one time is very, very amazing.
Rare, yes, yes. You know, I'm gonna give you my honest answer. Here we go. You ready for this?
Sure, sure, please.
I don't know. but what I do know is that, you know, let me say this. Do you know David Hawkins? Are you familiar
no,
with that author?
No, no.
Okay, yeah, right. Anyone listening, write that down. David Hawkins, spelled H-A-W-K-I-N-S, David Hawkins. And he has a few videos on YouTube, and he's written, I mean, a volume of just books that are so educational and mind-blowing. And one of his books is Power Versus Force, the hidden dimension of the hidden dimension of human behavior. But one of the things that he said to me, well, he didn't say it to me, but I was listening, and listen to this. See if you feel this. I was always under the assumption that there are different places in the world that are more spiritual, that you can feel more energy, feel the spirits, whether it's Monument Valley, whether it's Tibet, whether it's Mount Everest. There are different places in the world that you feel more connected to the universe. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, 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 indeed, yes.
Do you agree with that?
I mean, because I strongly believe, like the movie Manifest that we see it here, it's very, I mean, the doorway is opens up when this event is happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say that again, I don't know. And what I do know is that whatever is happening, and when I say it's open, when you say it's opening up, what I know is that's my little brain, my small brain. I only know 2% of 10% of the universe. I can't even try to, I used to think I knew a little bit more, but I can't even try to pretend that I know anything about what is it, what is happening. But what I do know is energy. And that energy, powerful energy, makes powerful shifts. I do know that. But to know why or something specific, what, I'm going to throw up my hands and say, I don't know. And one of the things that I had to let go of, I really had to let go of, is thinking that I know anything.
Yes. So, but you know that whenever there is a full moon, especially, you know, earthquakes are on the rise. Right now, Ring of Fire is 400% earthquakes are on the rise, as we have seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have many, many 6-7s right now. I mean, just past week, we are just looking for past week data right now. And with this full moon, there will be another, you know, it takes time, the full moon, the energy goes away from the earth. So, say, what is it will be by February 9th, if, you know, we would be out of the danger, at least a little safer, let's put it that way. But there will be major earthquake comes.
Well,
because
let
of
me
the high
say
tides.
This. Let me say this. is earthquake or like you said, out of the danger, is that the biggest issue? Is that the biggest challenge in this world right now?
No. I mean, just I concentrated on one element. We have so many elements within this massive triple, energy that is attacking. I mean, I don't want to say attack, but it's coming towards the planet Earth, and everybody are going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And birds are going to feel it. I mean, the planet knows that it's such an event is happening right now. I mean, within the next 12 hours. So, I mean, we have political issues in the globe. We have economic problem in the globe. And we have also social issues around the globe.
Mm-hmm. So if I asked you what were your top three issues or that you thought are the worst or the most challenging for mankind all over the globe, what would they be, the top three? What would your and I have a reason why I'm asking this question. Would be your top three problems in the world today, top three? What would you say?
Peace, harmony, and justice for all people of the world.
Peace and harmony. So peace is a problem?
Right now, yes. We see that a lot of countries, from Africa to, I mean, we have, wars everywhere right now. I mean, we have wars in Syria right now, which affects, everything affects each other. But people must understand that.
Now,
say
what can you do to bring more peace to this world? Because there is something that each individual can do to bring more peace into this world. What can you do?
I can change myself to be open-minded and don't be, say, racist or whatever, etc. Peace, justice, harmony, justice. I started with myself. I can only change myself. I cannot change others.
Right. And so and you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And so that's what I talk about on this show, that the answers, all the answers start with the individual and the individual in the mirror and the individual that says, that I'm going to choose peace over drama in every moment of my life. Now, the other thing that's really interesting is, I believe this is going to sound really crazy, really wacky, that everything is in order, regardless of the political issues, regardless of the economic issues. There is a reason for everything.
Shutdowns. That's it. Shutdowns also, you said economic, political shutdowns in USA, for example.
Shutdown?
Yeah, I mean government shutdown. Partial.
Shutdown, yeah. Well, again, see, the thing is, it's you either look at the world, okay, so have you ever been to, let me just say this. I was in New York on top of the World Trade Center before they were blown up. It was 1998, 1999. I went all the way up to the World Trade Center. And you could stand on the roof. And I remember looking down, at the Brooklyn Bridge. I remember looking down. I mean, I looked down and I saw airplanes below me. Standing at the top, standing on the roof at the World Trade Center, looking down, the view was indescribable. And there is a different view that when I went all the way down to the lobby at the World Trade Center. I didn't have that same view. So when individuals look at the world from, say, you're at the top, looking from the top of the World Trade Center, and you look and you see everything, it's a totally different view than when you're in the lobby. And so what I practice is looking at the world with a bigger view. I don't see a problem with the political. I don't see problems with economical. I don't see problems with anything. I know that this universe, that the world is, everything is in perfect order. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people don't want to believe it because they want to stay focused on quote-unquote problems. But I don't see problems. I see order. Do I understand it? Do I know the bigger picture? No. But I know that everything that's happening has a perfect purpose. And I want to hit on your other point about justice. Justice. That word justice is another man-made word. And I know a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people don't agree. It's another man-made word. But there is no justice in the animal kingdom. There is no justice. So, but there will be peace when each individual prioritizes peace. But as far as justice, I mean, the mother tiger is going to have a baby, and the male tiger eats one of her, eats the babies. Or the penguin has two little penguins, and they let one of them starve, the weakest one starve. So there is no justice.
Or a scorpion.
That just,
yeah.
What?
A scorpion, it's, when it delivers the babies,
yes.
A scorpion, it's its own child, yeah.
Yeah, so when you say justice, know that that is a man-made term. And even to think about or wanting justice in the world, especially with people, it's just not a place where you're going to find more peace. You're not going to find peace in wanting justice. What you're going to find peace is looking in the mirror and being peace. Being peace, and know that everything that happens to every individual, whether it's something that I would have wanted for them to happen, but the universe, we all sign an agreement. We all are here on our specific journey. And justice is man-made. It's a word from the ego. And trust that the universe knows exactly what is going on in each individual's life, and their journey is specific to them. And it is a journey that's good for them. It's serving them, whether I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it. But you got to look at this world with not your man-made eyes, with universal eyes, with bigger. Look, see what the universe sees. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. I mean, you got me thinking different way right now. I mean, it's
yes.
Like my mind. It's totally. It's like upset right now, my mind, because as you said, there's no justice anywhere.
No. You know, you're giving me chills. My whole body is chilling up because of your words. I get chills when I hear the truth, when I speak the truth, and you just gave me chills. And your honesty of, you know, you said your mind is thinking a different way, and that's all I want to do here on this show, is just to broaden the perspective and to think bigger than this man-made, this small man-made, and looking at the world. Because if you look at the world and you find problems, then guess what? Then you're contributing problems. And if you look in the world and you just see only peace and order, that's what you're contributing to the world, peace and order. It's not very popular, trust me. It's not a popular viewpoint.
But I think when mankind is awakened, you see, right now, mankind has, they have whiskey, vodka, I mean, cigarettes, we have cocaine, we have other things. As long as mankind use this kind of tools, they will never have justice. They will never have peace in this planet. Because
Let me jump in because that's another statement that is it's a program statement, and it's another statement that doesn't bring about any peace. I have a different perspective, because why are people drinking? Why are people using drugs? Why are people? The reason is to feel different. is to feel different, is to feel better, to feel a certain way. And it's the feeling. It's the feeling that we're seeking, you know, this feeling of peace that we're all seeking. So I'm not going to be judging anybody that uses drugs or alcohol or anything like that, because for whatever reason, they need to do it for that particular time. That is their journey, their life. Who am I to say that that's wrong for them? That's very arrogant of me to say something is wrong for someone else. I just look at it differently.
But they put it in the hands of the people. I mean, as lower than what? Petroleum or gas in your car. You see what I'm saying? Is the fault of the governments around the globe. They give it so people can kill them, kill their girlfriends, kill their, neighbors, or kill their, whoever they think. And they're drunk, and they have so much violations, so much thing going on. So that's what happens. They can never have a peace.
This is one thing that I usually don't do, and the reason why is because everybody's got a different perspective, everybody's got a different opinion, and what I really don't engage in is a philosophical, sociological conversations, because it really goes around and around. I have a question for you. What is one of your challenges that you're dealing with right now in your personal life, if you want to share or not, personal life? What is a challenge for you with a specific incident? Because we can go around and around and why the world is this way and make blanket statements, big statements. But specifically, let's get back to what is one of your specific challenges in your life. Relationship or job or whatever it is. Do you want to share that or not really?
Yes, challenging is to to talk to the people and to convince that we are all came from God, and therefore and I am God. I'm talking to you,
yes.
And you're God,
yes.
That you're talking to me. So how,
yes.
I treat my God, God is not bad. God is not going to be evil. So I have to treat you the same way as I treat my own God.
So what is your challenge?
The challenge is, people don't want to understand that we are all coming from same image of God. So we are all gods in this planet.
Right. Well, let me say this. I agree with you.
Challenge.
I agree with you, and I'm going to give you the solution. You ready? I'm going to give you a solution that is going to bring you peace with this talking to people and trying to convince them that we are all God. Because I definitely agree with you. I agree with your premise. Yes, we are all God. I do agree. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from. But here, you ready to have more peace? You ready?
Sure, go ahead, please.
You ready?
Yeah,
you ready? Okay, here we go. Stop trying to convince anybody of that.
Yeah, no, not kind of really convincing, but just dialogue. But people don't want to
stop
understand
with the dialogue.
It. I mean,
stop with the dialogue.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I
stop
understand.
With the dialogue.
Yeah.
That'll bring you a lot of peace. Just stop with the dialogue. And you know what I had to really, this was really hard for me. This was really, really hard for me. The universe told me, God, whatever you want to call it, God told me, I don't need your help, Rebecca. I don't need your help. but universe, I mean, I'm here. I don't need your help. Stay out of God's business. What do you think about that?
But we are God ourselves. Anyway, if you see the Pretty Magic World movie, I'm sure you saw it or not, you need to see it on YouTube. I guess they put it. And, it's clearly, it takes you through science and everything. And anyway, at the end, they said the three magic words are, I am God. Unless humanity doesn't understand these three words, we will have racism, we will have bloodshed in the world, bloodshed in the street of America, bloodshed in all over, Syria. Why Syrians are fighting together? That is God. Each one of them are God. But
stay,
they're doing
stay, again, I'm still saying, either you want peace or you don't, and it depends on what you practice. And I say dialogue, schmialogue. If I'm going to have dialogue and it's not going to bring me any peace, I'm not having dialogue. So it's going to be your choice to talk about things that you know people don't get or don't want to accept or are not ready to accept, because when they're ready, they all will understand it. But it's up to you. I don't share any of this to anybody unless somebody calls on my radio show or they ask me a question. I don't share one word. Why? Because I know if I do, I'm not going to be creating or feeling or experience any peace. It's the same thing as talking about politics. Why am I sharing something that I know is going to cause back and forth? That's not peaceful. I mean, if your number one priority is peace, then behave like it's peace.
Right.
I had to learn
peace,
it the hard
love,
way, trust me.
Peace, love, unity, and, justice and harmony.
Justice is a man-made word. It's not a universal term. God does never say justice. No, it's a man-made term, justice. I'm just telling you.
I accept it. As I said right now, it's you led me to think differently right now. But I ask you this question. Shall justice come to the world? Yes or no?
Well, I already did the philosophical stuff. This is what I believe. I believe everybody is going to get the answers. I believe everybody is going to evolve into this I am God, but not in my lifetime. I don't know what thousands of years, millions of years. I believe everything is going to evolve into that, but I don't know when. And so what? It's just like you plant a rose bush. I don't know when it's going to bloom. It's going to bloom. And so what? I want it now. I'm going to be fretting about what's happening now. You know, the baby is born and the baby doesn't have any teeth. The baby can't walk. The baby can't eat. They only can drink. What am I, hurry up, baby, and grow up? It's the same thing with the evolution of man. We're in primitive stage. We're in a primitive stage. So I'm okay
right.
with the evolution. I'm okay with however long it's going to take for man to evolve into that. I'm okay with all of that. I don't need all of that to be right now in this lifetime, because I trust and I know it's going to happen in the perfect time.
So either people learn it maybe hard way or easy way, I guess. Is that is that true?
You're right about that. And if they don't learn it, they'll learn it in another lifetime. So there you go. It's okay.
Right.
It's okay they don't learn it now. It's okay. See, I'm okay with what's going on. I'm actually very, very okay. I used to not be okay. Trust me. Everything used to bother me, but not anymore.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, in Three Magic Word Movie, I mean, Dolores, D-O-L-O-R-E-S, and she, Dolores Cannon, just put it, and it talks about that movie a little bit, and actually she's a psychologist, and a patient comes to her all the time. He says,
yeah.
Well, I did a cancer removal, but and cancer came back again. And, you know, then they do another, whatever, surgery, and the cancer comes. So you will listen to it later on. But the question is, she said, did something happen in your life? Can you tell me something? I mean, is it regarding your divorce, regarding your kids, regarding... He says, yes, I do not forgive my wife for divorcing me. So Dolores Cannon says, well, just let it go. Release the energy. You know, don't get mad. Because you were mad all these years, that's how this cancer is popping up in your system over and over again. So he did listen to her, and guess what? The cancer never came back. Just to let go.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying to you. Let go of the world and let go of looking and finding something wrong with the world and let go of people and let go of looking and finding something wrong with what people are doing. Let go of the world. Let go of the world and you will be more peaceful and you will be contributing more peace to the world. Let go. Let go of talking about what you know to be the truth. I'm with you. Let go of talking about it. Let go. See, the thing is, not finding peace, saying there's no justice, that's just another distraction that the ego puts to find something wrong. The universe doesn't see there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with what's going on. Nothing. And so what I'm saying is to be more like God, be more like the universe, and find nothing wrong and let everything go. But see, when you have to let everything go, then now what are you going to complain about? Now what are you going to talk about? Now what are you going to discuss? Now what are you going to think about? See, that's the trick. Letting everything go.
Yeah, I think it's
that's
more...
That's your job, your responsibility, your contribution
right.
to the world. Can you let everything go? That's my
right,
question.
Right. It is sometimes it's very difficult, but I think if more people doing it, probably.
No, not more people. No, it's not about more people. It's about you, my dear friend. Not more
right,
people.
Right.
No. It's about you. You. What are you going to do? I sure do love chatting with you. I love it. And the show is a little bit going over, but I want to invite you to call in anytime. You not
yeah, sure.
only contributed to the show, you not only contributed to the show, but you contributed, you know, your discussion, the topics that you brought up are going to be thought about by all of the people that listen to this show. So what you've contributed, I mean, there are many, many thousands of people who think who think the way that you're thinking and finding something. And what I'm saying is one of the things about you, because I could feel it, is that you are open. You are open, and you are open to different perspectives. And I appreciate that.
There has to be. If you don't
well,
have
not
open,
we,
then,
just
we'll
say
be
you,
closed.
Not
I
we.
Mean, yeah, right, right.
Just say
right,
you,
yes.
Not we. Let go
right.
of these people. Let go of these people. Let go. Let go. Let go.
But when I said me and you, we are open-minded. So, I mean, that's why I said
yes.
We. I mean, can't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay.
That way is okay. Yeah, but not the other way.
Yes, yes. I felt
yeah.
you.
I
you. I'm telling you, I don't show up for nothing. I can see. I felt you.
Right.
And thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your contribution today.
Oh, thank you for your service to the everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, service
and thank
to
you
me.
For your service.
Service
and
to
thank,
me.
Thank
yes,
you.
Thank you. You're most welcome.
Okay. I really appreciated that caller. I really do. And everybody that listens to Reality Spirituality, thank you so much. And I know, well, I don't know, but the caller brought in so many good points about the way a lot of people think. And one of the biggest things, the biggest challenges I had is to let go of other people. Because, listen, okay, don't tell anybody, but I used to say, oh, if everybody was more like me in the world, it would be a better place. If everybody was more like me. And I had to let that go, people. I had to let that thought, that whole thinking go, because the world is perfect the way it is, whether I can see or believe the perfection. But I trust that the world is perfect and is evolving perfectly, even though it looks different, even though it looks like chaos through these man-made eyes. Universal eyes, it's perfection. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel, just go on YouTube and search Reality Spirituality or Rebecca Norrington. You'll find a few of my videos. I know I've got to add more videos. I know. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon and Lulu, L-U-L-U. My second book, called Program for Unhappiness, is going to be out sometime this year. And until next time, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you for listening, and have a conscious, peaceful week. And let everybody go.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
I love to spirituality.
It's a new experiment. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Getting real.
Good now.
Get real good.
Now, that's what I'm